San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, August 18, 2019. Today's lesson is Out from Under the Clutter with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. We are a spiritual family. We are a spiritual community. And there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty, one absolute, indestructible, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Think about the fish swimming around in the water going, hey, I heard there's something called water around here. Where do you think we can find it? Well, that's us. I hear there's something called spirit around here. Where do you think we can find it? We can find it in the air. We can find it in each other. We can find it in everything. Because there is only one, only one. Now, we've been talking about simplicity this month, and it's fun. You know, August is a fun month for simplicity. We've had plain and simple, a riddle of simplicity, and today, out from under the clutter. Now, finding an icon for clutter is a challenge because so much of the images related to clutter are related to things. And even those little icons that have all the different words, clutter, stuff, junk, you know, all of that, none of them really had anything to do with our inner self, our inner clutter. So the icon that we have is a pure white lavatory with a beautiful tub, a beautiful sink, and a what looks like a Christmas tree. And what it really is heaps and heaps and heaps of stuff so tall that it's taller than the person whose legs are sticking out from underneath it. And you'll find that on your program insert. So we want to be out from under the clutter, but not just stuff. Not just stuff. There's a reason that we hold on to things, that we have clutter. We have an attachment to it. We really do. We have an attachment to that stack of papers that has been sitting on our desk forever that we haven't gone through because we know exactly what's in it. We don't need to look at it again. In fact, we could probably recite everything on every page in that stack, but still it sits there because we're attached in some way to the thing or the information or the emotion that shows up around that paper. Now, clutter is an interesting word. It was first used as an intransitive verb in 1556. It's from Middle English, from the word clotterin, which means to clot, and it is from clot. We all know what clots are. We know from all of the commercials and from medical texts about blood clots that will perform a blockage so that the blood cannot flow. So there's something in it that is a clot, that is cluttering in the midst of the flow. Now, what do we know about the flow? It's divine. We have a divine life. The flow is always ongoing. So if there is something that we perceive as a blockage, an impedance to our life, then we know that it can be dissolved simply by pure logic. just like doctors will put something into the blood system to dissolve clots, so too can we put something into our mental system to dissolve the clots back into the nothingness that they were. So the definition of clutter is to run in disorder. To run in disorder. And I thought, well, how perfect, because we know that one of the primary qualities of God is order. We live in an ordered universe. We live in an ordered galaxy. We live in an ordered planet. Everything, every bit of life, every plant has that same cycle. It is ordered. It has everything that it does just like every other plant. Whether it's a weed or a rose or wheat, like food, whatever it is, it all has the growth cycle. Animals and people have the life cycle. We are born, we grow, and we end our lives. The lives here on earth, the physical life. Our spiritual life goes on and on. And you can also think of our time on earth like a Disney amusement park ride. Okay, so here we are, spirit out everywhere, doing everything, and we want to ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which is earth, a life on earth. So we go right up, and we enter the ride, we get in the little jalopy, we ride the ride, we laugh, we cry, we get scared, we have people with us. And at the end, we get out of the jalopy and off the ride. That doesn't mean that we no longer exist. We are spiritual immortal beings. We are here all the time. But this time on earth is like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. We're here to experience the ride. Okay? All of this process of life is order. It is in divine order, always. Another definition, the transitive verb of clutter is to fill or cover with disordered things that impede movement or reduce effectiveness. Impede movement, reduce effectiveness. What are we doing when our minds are so cluttered with disordered thoughts that we are impeding our spiritual movement? We are reducing our effectiveness at living a full life. We are being our own clot. We have a saying here in the science of mind, and it's, and in metaphysics and spiritual teachings, it's, I need to get out of my own way. I mean, I'm the one, my thoughts, my actions are blocking me from my good. Now, clutter can also be a noun. It's a crowded or confused mass or collection. Just because you have a collection of spoons from all the states, little tiny spoons that you collected when you went all over the states, keeping them in a bag in a drawer isn't serving you. It is taking up space, reducing the effectiveness of the drawer you have them in. Ernest Holmes, we had this as a quote of his years ago. And so it doesn't have the page number on it, but I have it on a little piece of paper like that, cut out and taped next to my bathroom cabinet. He said, "The process of clear thinking, if carried out every day, will heal." The process of clear thinking, if carried out every day, will heal. Very important reason why I have that in my bathroom. Because we needed to have clear thinking as our family went through a process. So when we're looking at clutter, both our mental clutter and our physical clutter, we do want to ask ourselves, what are we really attached to? Whether it's physical or mental, all clutter is tied to emotions or fears. Every bit of it. Even when you want to have your positive thinking, people are trying to change their lives and update their lives. They want to have positive thinking. I have a quote to share with you from Farnoosh Brock. And Farnoosh was a woman who doubted herself. And so she decided she was going to start using affirmations to have her better life. One of the things she came to as her conclusion is this. We should start choosing our thoughts like we choose our clothes for the day. We should start choosing our thoughts like we choose our clothes for the day. She found that just straight up positive thinking wasn't working for her. She had the exact same commitment to the positive thoughts as she did to her habit of negative thoughts. Different thoughts can't occupy the same space. So as she was saying, I'm capable, I'm a strong and powerful woman, I have a successful business, she would follow that with, this is not going to work. You know, it hasn't worked so far all these years. Who am I kidding? As we know, the universe responds to the preponderance of our thoughts. We have to change our thinking in order to change the circumstances of our life. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to read this, but I know it's not going to work. Because just because we read it, we haven't incorporated it in our lives. We haven't embodied that as the truth of our lives. And until we can embody something as the truth of our lives, our old habits, our old repeating tapes, our old thoughts and ideas will maintain the preponderance of our thought. We need to know that in order to move forward with whatever it is that we are going to do to change the circumstances in our lives. Because everything that we're experiencing in our life is a result of everything that came before. Even if you're changing your thoughts and improving right now, it takes time in the physical world for some of these things to manifest. I can't decide all of a sudden that I'm wealthy and that I have $2.5 million in the bank. It's going to take me a little time in this world. Even if somebody came to my door with a check, I would have to take it down to the bank. And of course, they'd put a hold on it till they verified it. So it's not like everything is instantaneously physically occurring. However, it is instantaneously occurring in spirit. As soon as we speak our word that is the word of God, all-encompassing, the truth, as soon as we speak it, it occurs immediately. I say, I am wealthy, and the universe says, wealthy, yes. I say, I am healthy. And the universe says, healthy, yes. Whatever it is that we are saying, we are believing, we are knowing within ourselves, the universe, which is spiritual principle, must act on it. It must act on it. Remember that opposing things cannot occupy the same space. We know that is a law of physics. Well, it's also a law of metaphysics. I need to know and feel within me the truth of my being. Otherwise, my subconscious, my old history, the things that I learn from other people, places, and things, is what will direct me in its own path, not the path that I set for myself. So we need to remember that clutter can be looked at as a congested life force. Clutter can be a distraction from what really is important. Clutter can be mental noise. Again, a distraction, a way to keep us from focusing on the truth of our being. When we have all these things behind us, as Farnoosh Brock did, we have what I call a death grip on our past. Think of gripping. You're gripping, you have a fist. When you are fisted in the past, you can't receive anything new. You can't open your hands. You can't embrace, because even in the embracing, it's a violent thing. So we need to remember to let go. Let go. Years ago, there was a movie. Might have been a love story. And they said, if you love someone, set them free. If they were yours, they will return to you. We can't have a grip on people, places, and things that stifles the life flow, that clots it, that congests it. We need to be open to be a part of that same flow. And when we let go, you know what we're doing? We are allowing space for new ideas, new people, new places, new things, and new experiences. New experiences. And when we have these new experiences, they are uplifting. They are fresh. They are not the old stale ideas, the old experiences, or the same experience with new people, same experience in a new place. When we recognize the truth of who we are, then we are free of the clutter. We are out from under that clutter. I want you to hold your hands up like this. So it's like, what is this? The up, up, up thing? Okay, so it's a dancing move. So hold those there. Now imagine that there is a silver platter placed in your hands. Okay, nice silver platter, pretty, pretty. And now somebody starts putting things on top of it. They put rocks on it. They put dirt on it. They put smelly old tennis shoes on it. They put all kinds of things on it. And you're sitting there going, oh, but I've got a silver platter. And all I'm touching is the silver platter. And your mind is going wild with, what are they going to put on next? Are they going to put on spaghetti sauce? Are they, what's going to happen to me if any of this tips off? Okay, put your hands down. You want to be out from under the clutter of those thoughts. Because as you could see, just the thought of that and having our hands up, trying to keep this clutter off of us and away from us, it started gaining weight, didn't it? In your mind, you could feel it gaining weight. Heavier and heavier. keeping you from being your light-hearted, beautiful self. Because even though that was a silver platter we were touching, it was holding from our view all the horrible things we were thinking about. But those horrible things we were thinking about were occupying our mind. When we let go of things, there are lots of different examples of how life in general benefits. Think about trees and plants, fruit trees particularly. They need to be trimmed in order to bear fruit. Roses, we need to trim them in order for them to bear more beautiful roses. Creeping Charlie, the houseplant, you need to pinch the ends so that it will grow full instead of continue to be leggy. So we're pruning them. What about letting go of clothes we no longer wear? Perfectly good clothes. But they've been sitting in our closet or sitting in our drawer so long that we've finally gotten this bunch of clothes shoved over to the side and we don't even look at them anymore. All they're doing is taking up space. I have two dressers in my master bedroom. One's mine, one was my husband's. And I went through the drawers at my husband's dresser. And I found amazing things, things I had never seen before. One half of one of the bottom drawers was filled with new batteries so that we would be prepared for the church. Because, you know, when we moved to the church, everything came to our house. So it's like, wow, there's all this stuff that is taking up space and keeping that drawer from being useful. So I cleared it out. When we look at ourselves, we want to look at what are we doing that's outmoded, outdated, outlived its usefulness. We don't want to be mentally garbed in rags and worn out clothing and worn out thoughts. We need to let them go so that there is room for the beautiful shining self that we are to be revealed. We have such emotional attachment to things. A friend of mine started a web page with a group of women that she knew. She started out posting on a widow's board about what trouble she was having clearing off her dining table of clutter because it was all paperwork. And so she moved all of her paperwork. It kept winding up on her dining table. So she'd clean up the whole rest of the house, but then there's the dining table. She wound up starting a group called Widows Clearing Clutter. It's where there is support for people as they let go of stuff, not of the lifetime memories. We don't need to hold on to something physical to still have the memory. We don't need to. It creates a distraction for us to have all of these physical things in memory of someone else who was a part of us. It creates a distraction to hang on to the physical things, but oftentimes it is so hard to let go because through our emotions we associate these physical things with the person who is no longer there, with the job that is no longer there, with the car that is no longer there, all of these things that are no longer there, we associate the things with that which is no longer there physically. These widows clearing their clutter, they are grieving. What they are grieving, what all grief is always about, is the loss of a dream. Whether it's a relationship, a home, a child, a spouse, a friend, everything is about the loss of a dream. So there is great emotion involved in this group with their grieving and letting go. But we know that the things are not the memories. The memories can remain. Ernest Holmes had something to say about clutter and about release. Ernest Holmes is the author of the Science of Mind textbook and the founder of the religious science movement. And he's talking about leaving your fears and your negativity behind. He says, every thought of cruelty is disturbing to the entire body. Solomon tells us that he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh, and every adverse thought is cruel. Every adverse thought is cruel. Thoughts of peace and goodwill, a recognition of the unity of all men, will produce harmony and bring about perfect elimination in the body. So the perfect elimination, you're going to release those things that have clogged up your body, that make you feel icky inside, that keep you from moving freely, that give you mobility. He goes on to say, it is necessary that we release all thoughts as well as things that clutter up our lives. We are reminded that there is something resembling the divine in the intelligence and fearlessness of the organs of the body, in the way they take that which is necessary to their sustenance and well-being and release that which is not needed. If the organs of the body followed the average tactics of man in his acquisitive habits, if the lungs hoarded the air they take in, if the heart kept the fresh blood stored within its walls, refusing to allow it to circulate, if the stomach retained the food taken in for nourishment, what a static condition we would have. But the very reverse is true. Such perfect assimilation, elimination, and circulation has never been equaled by man in anything he has invented. And on the following page, he says, if one would take time, once a day at least, to let go of all that is not true and lay hold of reality, let go of doubt, distrust, worry, condemnation, and fear, and lay hold of life in its expressions of beauty, truth, and wholeness, his mental congestion would be healed. Keep the mind and body open to the reception of truth. It is the static, fixed, inflexible outlook which produces a tendency on the part of the body and its muscles and functions to become tense and underactive. Hold steadfastly to the thought that all of life is in a state of eternal flow. Relax your thought and allow the free flow of the life essence in and through you, and your body will respond to its healing activity. So it's good for your health to get rid of the clutter in your body, in your mind. It's good for you to be in the flow of the divine. How can we start ensuring that we are in the flow of the divine. We need to remember that we are one. Remember at the beginning I said one infinite and absolute. One power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. It is infinite, it is absolute, it is self-existent. It is the source of all life. We call it because it also is both male and female. Of all the definitions people have given us of God, of the source, all of them include infinite. Therefore, when something is infinite, it is all inclusive. Everything, everyone, every idea, every structure, every relationship is a part of the divine, just as we are. We can't be anything else. So I would like you, if you are in alignment with what I've said so far, to join me in an affirmation. And place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I am secure in knowing that God is the all source. I am one with God the good. My good is my God. I am grateful for my good.
I am grateful for my good.
I let this go knowing it is true. And it is immediately acted upon.
And so it is.
Okay, so take a nice deep breath. A nice deep breath. What you did is you just laid a claim on the universe. And you have that right. Because you are a part of the universe. The words that we speak move through us as vibrations in the universe. And they are acted upon immediately in the spiritual realm. And to support that, there is one thing that we can do to support ourselves in always remembering that we are one with the divine. And that's meditation. We can create a space to sit in every day. And even if we only sit in that space for 5 minutes, I'm going to sit there every day. So find some place in your house. Some place where you're going to be able to return. So like maybe in the kitchen, in the living room, in your bedroom, some place where you can sit in the quiet for 5 minutes. Then sit there every day for at least 5 minutes. If you already have a meditative spiritual practice, use the space you have. Use the altar or whatever focus point you have to do your meditation. Meditate as long as you want, but do it every day. Every day for at least 5 minutes. So if you're busy, get up 5 minutes earlier. Be there for 5 minutes. What you're going to find is that space creates its own energy of peacefulness. Every day with you there for 5 minutes, that sense of peacefulness is increased, even if you don't feel it. It truly is, because you're sitting there with an intention to be peaceful. That space begins to call you, to draw you with its sense of safety from distractions. You may find that you want to set up some little altar, put a few sacred things there for you. And I have something that I'm going to give you today to support that. We have Jerusalem stone. They're white stones. And there is a spiritual practice that goes with them, but there are many spiritual practices that go with something sacred. These stones are hand-cut from natural stone imported near Hebron, Israel. And each stone is hand-selected for the highest quality. We have these. This is a white stone. You can use it for whatever you want, but know that it comes from Israel. It has been hand-quarried. Right? So this has not only historical significance, but as it is hand-carved, hand-quarried, there is an essence of sacredness, of a blessing from the person who is creating it that goes into it. When you create your space for your 5 minutes, if you can, set this there. And it can be a reminder to you of the peace that truly is there. So we are one. One. And there is only one source. We are spiritual, immortal beings having a human experience. And while we're here on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, we can take a deep breath and remember who we are, what we are, that the light within us, that spark of life that fulfills this body, is the divine. Quality of the divine is order. Not disorder. So we can let go of the disorder, get out from under all of those old thoughts and ideas, and we can be fully present in the now. When we're worried about what came before, when we're worried about what's coming ahead, it's very difficult to breathe in a moment of peace. And so we want in each moment that we start to get distracted, take in a deep breath and let it out. And know that there is peace in that breath. Thank you for being here, for your time, for your attention. Namaste.